not everyone has experienced the massive earthquake, but everyone is connecting to this right now because everyone knows what loss feels like.
Yes.
It is such a universal feeling. It will happen to all of us. The more we open up about it, loss, authenticity, making the pivot and fighting for what we believe in, and the obstacles that we face along that path, the more that we will realize we're all in this together. You know, this is not just happening to me. I'm not the only one struggling with this.
You're listening to the Christoph Lewis Podcast, a podcast where I have conversations with inspirational people. My name is Chris, but my family calls me Christoph. My goal is to have as many conversations as possible with people who have forged their own path by pursuing their dreams, making them a reality, all the while emitting positivity and sharing this knowledge with others. I seek these people out and share this information with you, proving to the world that you can do what makes you happy and do what you want for a living while being a good human being. We'll talk about careers, but we'll also cover any story that inspires. Let's do this while helping each other. Thanks for listening. I'm happy you're here. Hey, my friends, welcome to the Christoph Lewis Podcast. This is conversation number 79, and I'm so excited that you're here with me today listening to this conversation. Know that you can find all the conversations and the contemplations on christophlewis.com/podcast. My guest today is none other than the one and only, the wonderful, the pleasant, the kind, Mariana Atencio. She is from Venezuela, where she emigrated from, and she is a MSNBC correspondent now here in the States, and she's a TEDx speaker of a video that boasts more than 9.5 million views. She's the author of the new book, Perfectly You. I had a wonderful conversation with her, and we're just so reminiscent of my mother came from Hungary to the United States in the 80s. I had to think about that. She came to the States in the 80s and to find a job. She left everything behind, and I'm here because of that. And now Mariana, who has graciously shared her story with us, has done the same. She came to the States from Venezuela at 24. And now she's doing incredible things. Like, she's reached the pinnacle of her profession, and she's doing it in a way that nobody else is doing it. And we hit that at the end of the podcast, but everything before the end of the podcast was incredible. Hearing her story, everything that she's endured, having a gun to her head, like, unbelievable stuff. And we shared a lot of experiences that were very similar and vastly different all at the same time. And when you listen to this podcast, you'll know exactly what I mean when I say that. Remember, you can find this podcast and all other conversations and contemplations at christophlewis.com/podcast. So without further ado, thank you so much for being here and welcome to the Christoph Lewis Podcast.
Thank you so much for having me, Christoph. I'm so excited.
I'm absolutely honored to have you here. Like I was just telling you, our friend Joe had you on his podcast and he connected us, and I was just absolutely blown away by your guys' podcast. I was blown away by your TED Talk as well. It just tipped over 9.5 million, and I was truly inspired, and I'm all about that. So I'm very honored that you're here with me today. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you so much. Yeah.
And your story is obviously nothing short of incredible. You've talked about it over and over again. And I know in the introduction, I spoke all about who you are and what you have done. But in your own words, I like giving like a micro synopsis in people's own words. Who are you and how have you gotten where you are?
So I am Mariana. I am a Latina immigrant, came to the United States 10 years ago. My story, looking back, is really a testament to the values of America. The fact that I'm able to do this podcast with you, to have a TED Talk with over 9 million views, and to work at a network like NBC News, that's only possible in this country. And I'm very proud to say that. I say that I'm just a girl looking for her space in the world.
Sure.
And fighting hard for her dreams without ever forgetting where she came from.
I love that. I love that so much. And one of the things I love from your story is that I have a Hungarian background. And so two things. The one thing is my mother emigrated from Hungary. She lived in Budapest, and she came here in her 20s as well, because you were 24 when you came here to the States, right? Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah, and she was in her 20s, and she went to New York City to look for a job, and she was applying for literally hundreds of jobs. I've heard the story. I, like, need to get her on here. It's a crazy story. And it was just so reminiscent of hearing your story coming here and just dealing with, literally dealing with all the things that you have to deal with when you do such a huge transition, and you said like packing your bags up and putting your whole world in your bags and then coming to a new country like that. And so that hit home for me just because like my family was, that's how my dad's from here, but that's essentially how I got here. So my mother came over here, and that's very important to me. And I think it's incredible that you're doing that as well. And you speak so passionately about all of that. And I absolutely love that. And it leads me right into your book, Perfectly You. I mean, you are just perfectly you. That is, you are so true about just talking about yourself and encouraging other people to be who they are, who they truly are, and not pretend to be somebody else.
It's fascinating about going back to your story that your mom is able to tell you about those experiences, mm-hmm. and that they, in a way, also have influenced your own experience.
Yeah, absolutely.
And your path. So I hope that when I do have my first child, God willing, that I'm also able to teach him or her about my values, mm-hmm. and where I come from.
Yeah.
I mean, when at 24 years old, you pretty much, as you say, have to pack your bags, mm-hmm. without a return ticket. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You know, how do you fit your entire life in a suitcase, especially coming from Venezuela, where you don't really have a home to go back to, where an increasingly authoritarian, mm-hmm. government,
yeah, that's right.
that calls itself communist, pretty much takes over everything that your family has worked their entire lives to, mm-hmm. have. And you see, you know, your friends and my own siblings like tear gas in the streets.
Yeah, that's amazing.
Closing down, you know, television stations. It really makes you think like, well, what, you know, what do I believe in? Do I believe in, you know, democracy and freedom of speech, and, mm-hmm. all these values that, mm-hmm. I'm willing to fight for, mm-hmm. And possibly die for? So,
man, that's so tough.
I talk about all that in the book. That I have here. And when I decided to write the book, it was because, well, many things, you know, many young people that were trying to find themselves sort of saw me on television, and they see me as an aspirational, mm-hmm. person, but I can still tell them about, like, I've been unemployed, and
yeah.
I have had to, which is something you talk about a lot in this podcast, like,
sure.
make a pivot, make a life,
yes,
pivot,
absolutely.
Make a life pivot,
yeah.
and sort of question, you know, do I want to risk, you know, what I've gained to do what I really love,
mm-hmm.
and all these questions. And it's about being aspirational and accessible, but at the end of the day, it's about being authentic. It's not about being perfect, but perfectly you, as the title of the book says. That's what really resonates with people, and that's what drew me to write this book, which, Christoph, it's, you know, it's been received with so much love,
yeah.
all over the country and the world. It's just been an amazing experience.
That's crazy. So I forgot to say the I'm going to back up for 1 second before I get into that, but I forgot to say the second thing about my mother was that I pronounced my name Christoph here, and she pronounces it Christoph, and I remember you saying, you said your name is like Mary or something very generic you called your name, and I was like, oh, that sounds so weird. And I can empathize with that very much so. And my second thing would be, you left all that behind, but how does somebody see and hear you say everything you did about Venezuela? But I think it's very difficult to put one in the position that you're in and to leave all your family behind, leave everything that you know behind. So even if somebody stands for something, right, how it's very difficult for them to leave all that behind to pursue what they truly believe in and have the opportunities that they don't have in the home that they're currently living in. How did you make the decision? Was it a gradual decision, and were there a lot of factors, I'm sure, or was it just like, I have to do this?
You know, you're so right in that when you were just asking me this question, I go back to that moment 10 years ago in my childhood bedroom making that decision, and the, mm-hmm. first emotion that I go back to is guilt.
Interesting.
That's like the first thing you feel, like, I'm leaving them behind,
yeah.
you know,
like, yeah.
I'm giving up the fight, and sort of going to a greener pasture, if you will. Am I being, I guess,
selfish? Yeah, I guess. Or...
yeah, and too centered around my own dreams. And that was a lot of what I struggled with when I left.
Okay.
It sort of was spur of the moment because, you know, it
wow.
was, so I'm a junior in college,
mm-hmm.
getting tear gas in the streets,
gosh.
Protesting against the government,
sure.
I was at Catholic University, you know, the priests, our teachers were like, you kids are our future, you have to continue the fight. And it was in the midst of all that,
wow,
that I get robbed at gunpoint on a hike, Christoph, in the middle of the day. And that's the first chapter of this book, because it was really, I mean, you talk about a pivot.
Yeah.
That's a moment where you have a gun pointed at your forehead, a man who tells you, get on your knees and count to 100, and your entire life flashes before your eyes. And you ask yourself, if I survive this, if I get to 100 and I'm alive, what am I going to do with my life? That's how the book starts. I'm not going to tell your
audience. Yeah, please don't. Please don't give it away.
Exactly, because I really want them to read the book.
Yeah.
But after that was when I said, I have to do this. I have to go pursue my dreams, especially because I wanted to shed light on what was happening in my home country. I knew how to
That's a good way
English.
To think about it.
I loved, you know, America so much. I'd be given the opportunity to come up here during the summers and do summer camp here, which is something that my dad worked very hard for me and my siblings to be able to have that opportunity. So I said, I have these God-given talents. I shouldn't feel guilty about this. I should put this to the service of my calling. And that's what I've done for the past 10 years. And in my own way, in my trench, I've been able to shed light on what has happened in Venezuela. And now the issue that I'm passionate about covering here.
Yeah, that's a great answer. Yeah, absolutely. So you're able to shed awareness on it, which is incredible. And you're able to go do what you truly want. And I know a lot of times, and I even speak in personal experience, it's very difficult to figure out what you truly want sometimes. Some people know at an early age, some people are still figuring out, and it can be very, very difficult to decide that. So I kind of like prying into how each individual has got into that specifically, how they made that decision. And yours was accumulation of things, but essentially when it boiled down to, you know, that story you just gave us of being held at gunpoint, which is absolutely insane, that was a pretty definitive nail in the coffin for you to make the change.
But I still, you know, when I applied, so I applied to scholarships here in the States to do journalism, and I still, when I got the email, and I talk about this in the book, I went to talk to my mom and I said, I think I want to stay, like, I think I want to stay and continue the fight with my friends. And she was ultimately the one who gave me the nudge and said, like, this is God's handwriting, like, I'm not gonna let you don't feel guilty that you're leaving us here. Like, you have to do this for yourself. So I think it's also having that person that you can bounce off that will tell you, like, Christoph, I know you. Like, you have to get in that car, or you have to send that email. And it's, you know, I think that when we are making these decisions, you have to have those people that shouldn't be more than the people you can count with the fingers of your hand.
Absolutely.
You also don't want to be asking the stadium of people what to do, but I think it's super important to have that person. And I think that the other thing that is really important to take into account is what you just said about when figuring out what you want to do. I always knew that I wanted to be on television. I always knew that I wanted to be a journalist, but I was so afraid to tell my parents, because in the corner of the world where I come from, it's seen as like a bad sort of career path. You know, it's like you're either too selfish or you are not objective, or you just want to be on TV. You know, I remember my mom telling me, like, I'm the oldest, so she would say to me, like, my dream is for you to become a dentist. You know, that way you can have kids and have like your own practice and, you know, work half the day if you want to. And I remember, nothing against dentists, but I remember as a teenager being like, I don't know that I want to spend my day like with my hands down like somebody's like stranger's mouths. Like, I don't know, Mom. I don't want to, you know?
Yeah.
So, but it took me so long. I even actually, knowing even while I was in college that this is what I wanted to do, what I'm doing now, I even said, like, okay, I'm going to go and work at advertising because it's like a safer choice and like maybe more like respected.
Okay.
And I was so miserable. And it was sitting at that desk, at that internship that I did not want to do, when I said to myself, you know, it was just, the, as you say, the accumulation of things between that and the protest, and then finally the catalyst, I said, I have to do this.
Yeah, it's really interesting to me to hear about your mother, too, because a lot of times, even though we love our parents, we love our family, maybe they are not the best ones to give it advice because they care so much. They think they know what's best for us. And she even said, you know, don't you want to become a dentist? So it was like kind of this double-edged thing. Like, I want you to go do it, but maybe what about being a dentist? And I think ultimately it boils down to what you want to do and what you know is right in your heart. And hopefully you feel that. And for me, it's been tough because I obviously love my parents to death, but sometimes I tell them something and they look at me kind of crazy and they're like, are you sure you want to do that? Like, are you sure, you know? And that's when I know I'm onto something. I think I kind of use that as like a gauge. Like when I start telling my loved ones what I have these crazy plans and they look at me like I am indeed crazy, I'm like, I'm onto something. I'm doing something right. So I think it's pretty cool that you had people like that in your life. And especially like, you got to think like, now that I'm a father, I can't imagine my daughter going away to another country to pursue something. But ultimately, especially with the safety issues and everything that was going on there and being held at gunpoint, like, I know very much, like, I talk so much and so many people on here, we talk about resistance and these crazy life events that just absolutely turn our lives around and make us perceive the world as a just completely different reality and almost wake us up a little bit. And I know a lot of people that listen know, like, I'm a Navy veteran, was in for 9 years, and I deployed to Afghanistan for 3 times, and I saw many, many things over there that completely, like you said, like, pivoted, like, had an experience, like being held at gunpoint. Thank God I was never held at gunpoint, but I've been shot at many times. I've been bombed on, like, so many things. So I understand, you know, I it's similar but different. And it's those life events were as stimulating as they were for me in a certain sense, like adrenaline rush and things. But at a certain time, after your body calms down and after that, like, safety mechanism essentially calms down, I'm like, holy smokes, like, holy shit. Like, I almost died. And it makes you think about things different. And then you see civilians dying, and it's so terrible. And so these events that we experience in our life, as tragic as they are, they change our lives they change our life for the rest of our lives, like, completely pivot. Mm-hmm. And now you are here in America, and I just was looking outside your home, and it's gorgeous, and you're doing something you love. And as hard as it was to leave all that behind and your family, and I know some of you've talked about some of your family history with your father, and there's just so many tough things we deal with. And you know, I have my parents, but I've lost loved ones, and like I said, we have similar but different things. We've both dealt with weapons, unfortunately. We both have lost lives, and that's much of a lot of people in the world have experienced these things. So I always like to highlight, like, there's so many reasons I love speaking with people like you, but you share your story. I share my story. See, we've been through this stuff too. You know, we've been through tough times, and we've lost loved ones, and we're still fighting on. And like you said, you're spreading the word about Venezuela, and you're also doing what you love. And I think that's incredible.
I think that, and I'm trying to find the passage here in the
book.
Yeah,
sure. Absolutely. Take your time. It's thundering here like crazy. It's very, very cinematic over here.
No, and it's what you said. You know, so I later lost my dad in the middle of this, crisis in Venezuela, and he was like my guiding light.
Yeah.
I've also, you know, as a journalist on television, you know, I've covered earthquakes and hurricanes, and I remember I talk about in the book, I interviewed a father after this devastating earthquake in Mexico City. It was an earthquake that it crumbled a primary school.
Cool.
And for days I was there on site covering all these parents, like, literally searching for their children in the rubble. I stayed to cover the funerals. And as you say, there, it's these things that, you know, it's the adrenaline rush of, I'm on the air, I'm giving them a voice, like, I'm alive.
Yeah.
And then your body finally analyzes what it's going through. You know, you have like that moment of like, oh my God, this will forever change me. But anyway, that dad, you know, his son was named Paquito. He was 7 years old. It was the funeral. I didn't think that he was going to give me an interview, and he did. And it was like tears rolling down his cheeks. My camera was on. We were in this little church outside of Mexico City, but broadcasting across the country here in America. Mm-hmm. And I said, wow, you know, not everyone has experienced the massive earthquake, but everyone is connecting to this right now because everyone knows what loss feels like.
Yes.
It is such a universal feeling. It will happen to all of us, but it's one of the things that I just go through in the book and discovered in this process that I went through that we are least prepared for.
Yeah.
it's incredible. So I think that the more we open up about it, loss, authenticity, making the pivot and fighting for what we believe in, and mm-hmm. the obstacles that we face
along that path,
the more that we will realize we're all in this together. You know, this is not just happening to me. I'm not the only one struggling with this.
You just opened your book, and I had this post on Instagram last night about, I said, your problems are your problems and my problems are mine. Or are they? And I go on to say, I've been to 26 countries and none of them were quite like the United States. The amount of pain and suffering I've seen overseas is incredible. In this country and all around the world, people have it effing tough. So you have problems and suffer, well, I do too. So do countless millions around the world. But this is where it changes. Our problems may be our own, but we have the ability to help one another. You have a much greater impact, much greater positive impact on the world and those immediately around you than you think you do. Do your damn best each day and you will change yourself and the world for the better. So it's just funny that you bring that up, and I literally just wrote about it last night. I posted this picture of my last deployment in Afghanistan when I've continued to have these revelations about my life and the lives around me. And I had so many problems and you've had so many problems, and you're so right to bring that up. Like, we have our own individual problems, but we can come together. And by sharing our stories like this, we help each other, because God knows, like, my wife and I have struggled with some things, and, you know, we've experienced some very, very tough things together. And when we've reached out to other people, it's been so helpful. And there's just countless examples of that all around the world. I couldn't agree with you more.
I love that post. And I have one for you, for here from Perfectly You.
Please.
In every conflict, every tragedy, every overwhelming situation, we are just people with shared humanity. While some notions may drive us apart at times, we must try to remember it's our mess, our differences, our struggles, large and small, that make us perfectly suited to become the change we want to see in the world.
Love that. This is the epitome of everything that I try to speak about, you know, the career transitions, helping others, obstacles, self-education, like all these things that I love talking about, we've essentially just wrapped up into one. And I think it just comes back to it. It can be so difficult to share your story. And this is like episode, I don't even remember now. It's over 100, but yeah. And I just, all these stories are so different, so unique. And I, you know, you kind of like talk about uniqueness and being yourself and perfectly you. Mm-hmm. So they're all unique and they're all very different, but they all have a similarity about them of just people that have gone out there and endured like really tough stuff, to say the least, and have turned their lives around and the lives of the people around them around as well. I hope that makes sense. Turn their lives around and turn the, I'm like doing a tongue twister here, but they've done these incredible things. And that's why I specifically try to target people like yourself. And Joe's been on the podcast. He's experienced some really tough things in his life as well. And frankly, most of us have, like you said. So to be able to go out there and get past sharing your story, which can be very difficult. You do it professionally now. Well, you report other things, but you've written the book and you've spoken on TED and you've shared it on a very large scale. So I just want to encourage people to do that. So I'm always very appreciative of people like yourself that have opened up and shared their stories as well, because it's not easy.
No, and you just touched on it, you know, what I do for a living in terms of the reporting. I'm sort of the new crop of the storytellers that are on TV now, and you're doing it on this podcast.
Yeah.
I think that more and more people are done with like the reporter that is like, you know, kind of numb on television, you know.
Yeah, just like a statue, like, yeah, robotic.
I think that, you know, being emotional and empathetic doesn't take away from being objective. You mm-hmm. know, when I've had to report on, you know, mass shootings, and when you have a person being interviewed on television, it's almost like you're inviting them to your home on the worst day of their lives, right? To open up, yeah, to speak about,
yeah, it's an interesting way to think about it.
I always, and maybe it's the Latina in me, because I'm very warm and, yeah, and sometimes have no notion of personal space. But
it sounds like my mom.
I always give people like, you know, a hug or like, you know, like just kind of like pat them on the back. And I always say, like, even if, you know, on TV you wear like this little thing, like, yeah, Secret Service person
yeah.
on in your ear, and they're yelling at you sometimes like, rah, send it back to the studio, you know, and I don't care what they're yelling at me. I always go pat the person on the shoulder.
Good for you.
I look at them and I say, thank you so much.
Good for you.
Christoph, taking the time for being with us today. And
Absolutely.
You invited them to your home. You have to say, I'll see you soon. Thank you so much for coming by, you know.
Gosh, that's
but
great.
I think that's the new, you know, that's the new trend, you know, mm-hmm. all of us who are experimenting with all of these new platforms,
mm-hmm.
there's TED and there's podcasts and there's social media. And I'm glad that it lends itself to kind of pulling the curtain up
mm-hmm.
and
mm-hmm.
showing us in a more real and human way.
Yes, absolutely. One of the things I promised myself from the very beginning, because I didn't have any background in this, was to not be that robotic journalist. And I love that here that you're transitioning into that. And you're right, like social media, I think, is a beautiful tool. It's a tool, you can use it however you want, mindlessly, negatively, or you can use it positively. And you know, we're sharing this podcast on social media, we're sharing the video clips on social media, and everything that you're doing, your book, the hundreds of thousands of people you reach, you can all use this tool positively. And it allows, like, some people can fake it, obviously, that's out there. I'm not saying anything that hasn't been said before. Tons of people do that. But I think on a certain level, for me, maybe because I feel like I do it professionally, because I'm all on social media all the time, looking at people, kind of figuring out who I want to get on the and talk to next. And I feel like I'm very good at deciphering the bullshit and like seeing somebody's authenticity even through all the social media. So I think it's feasible to just be able to shed that away and kind of guide you, the people that you follow and the people that you subscribe to, and make sure they're authentic and real people such as yourself, like that, not feeding you any of the BS. But I did love what the last thing I wanted to say on that was, I love what you said, because I feel the same way about when I have people on here such as yourself, like guests. I at the very end, I'm always like, I can't, you know, I'm so thankful of your time, because it's not like I have millions of dollars that I can pay all these people to be on my podcast. And it's just so appreciative of me for people to, you know, spend 30, 40 minutes of their day to talk to me and talk about such issues like this. Because I know this is usually the last thing I say, but I'm just like, I'm just so appreciative of your time. And I can't believe I've had so many people on here that just want to help other people. And it's equally beneficial to myself as well. Like, this helps me talking to you.
Yeah. Absolutely. I'm looking through the book now. There's a chapter that I wanted to include in here called A Million Likes for You,
mm-hmm.
about the importance of being authentic on social media and how to be authentic on social media.
Okay.
Because I think we're so tempted to do like the clickbait stuff.
Yeah.
You know, we're like, oh, everybody's doing this, or, you know, now everybody's doing the face app that makes you look old.
I haven't done it yet. Yeah.
As a woman, for example, in my case, I was like, oh, all the bloggers are doing like makeup tutorials. Like, uh-huh. Maybe I should do that. I talk about it in the book very openly. I recorded this really dorky makeup tutorial when it's like not something that I'm into at all. And I was about to upload it, and I'm like, oh my God, what if this goes viral?
And that's who you are.
To do this like smoky eye pretend routine.
Yeah.
For days, you know? So the thing about your social media, unlike other things, it will follow you forever.
Yeah.
So that's really a space where you really want to be authentic.
It's like a running resume.
Absolutely. And it won't happen immediately. I think that's the other thing. It's a lot of trial and error.
You're telling me.
You find like your stride. You know,
yeah,
your stride.
For sure. Believe me, I know.
So I have some tips here for people. Literally a little list.
Yeah, let's hear it.
Okay. How to be like, what is your goal? Who's your audience? What's missing?
Mm-hmm.
Content is king, no matter mm-hmm. the platform, no matter. People want to, you want to hear or see good content, no matter what. Flimsy photos with no substance will only get you so far. Engage with your community, but also adjust. So it's trial and error. And I think the final thing is try to use it as a tool for good, right? Mm-hmm. Ultimately, even if it's just being authentic, and that will inspire other people to be authentic as well, or to have conversations about everything that we've just talked about, but try to see how it can create a positive ripple effect. You know?
Absolutely. I'm all about all of those things. I try to do that. And it most certainly has been trial and error. And I finally feel like I'm finding my stride sometimes. And then sometimes I just have so much, I'm so hopeless and I'm just so sad. I'm like, I'm just going to
stop
doing the podcast. But no, I appreciate it. No, but like I said, at a bare minimum, people are, their lives are positively affected. And have, like I keep on saying, like I've, people have heard this before on the podcast, but you've never heard me say this before, but I call it my verbal journal. So instead of being able to write in a journal and write down my thoughts and be able to hear myself talk to you, and I hear it again when I edit, I hear it again. Sometimes I'm interested, I go listen to old podcasts and I get to hear my tone. I get to hear my enthusiasm. I get to hear my anger. I get to hear just everything. And I think it's just so incredible to, I always encourage people to go out there and just record against your phone, right? And just, you can have a journal in that sense. So for me doing this, I always say every time I walk away from one of these conversation recordings and I feel like $1,000,000 and I feel great. So I talked to somebody else that is passionate about living life and helping others.
And you just hit on an important point for anyone who wants to be a storyteller is look at your stuff, like look at yourself, like, you know, like hear yourself, mm-hmm. you know, sometimes mm-hmm. you're like, oh my God, I don't want to, you know, I did that on television. I don't want to see it, you know, or I did this podcast or I posted this on social media. I don't want to see it, you know.
Yeah.
The only way to get better mm-hmm. and to get more authentic and to say like, wow, I just had a really good day or I was just going through that. I wonder if it came through or I think that interview was really good. Mm-hmm. You know, just look at your stuff and have somebody that you trust and love.
I could not agree more.
Hopefully yeah. in your same industry, mm-hmm. look and critique your stuff too. You know, sometimes mm-hmm. we also have to be ready for feedback. My husband always says,
you have
like,
to, yeah.
You take feedback like just so personal. He's like, it's just advice, you know, it's just yeah. kind of feedback from the universe that you should take as someone, oh, took the time to look at what I'm doing.
Sure.
And because sometimes, obviously, in social media, there are people.
I was about to say, sometimes it's not like that.
Hater.
Yeah.
And you can't listen to everyone, but just have always a good, you know, one or two people who are your good yeah. reference points
yeah.
That are part of your squad.
You know, BS people. I want people in my lives are going to tell me what I need to hear, not what I want to hear. And I have a few people like that. They'll hear something in the podcast episode. They'll be like, oh man, that was messed up. You should, you know, you got to go fix this. And I'm like, thank you so much for telling me. So I do appreciate that. And I always say like, when I listen to my podcast and I edit, I do everything myself, so it's feasible if you want to start a podcast. I do everything myself and I make it happen, but you go through them and it's like reviewing the gameplay. Like if you ever played sports, or you know, people go in there and they review their game footage and they see how they could run the play better or pass the ball better, or they didn't see somebody was open. So I just listen to my podcast and I enjoy them, and I'm very analytical of myself as well to figure out how to be a better host to my guests.
That's amazing. And that's doing television is the same thing. You're like, oh my mm-hmm, God, mm-hmm. how did I miss that comeback or that follow-up?
Yeah, as long as you learn from it and apply it to the future, you know?
Absolutely. It's a practice, you know? It's not a black or white thing.
Absolutely. I hate when I have to bring these to an end. Really, the 30 minutes always zooms by. But Mariana, I've had a wonderful time with you, to say the least. And I'm, like I said it before, but I truly do mean it. I'm very appreciative of your time and speaking with me and speaking about your book. And if people want to find your book, if people want to contact you, find you on social media, how can they find you?
So on social media, it's at Mariana, which is Mariana Atencio, Atencio. And we talked about the importance of our names, and I love that you brought that up. And I want to meet your mama
yeah,
so bad.
I need to see her again, speaking of it.
No, your name, you know, to everybody listening out there, you know, pronounce your name the way it's meant to be pronounced, the way the intention that your parents gave it. Mm-hmm. It's such a big part of your personality and your authenticity. So
absolutely,
don't let anybody mispronounce it. Anyway, at Mariana Atencio, I'm on Insta. I respond to every single DM, and I pride myself of that because that's like a mm-hmm. great just mm-hmm. pulse of the people. Building community, which is what we're out here to do.
Yeah, it's social.
The book is called Perfectly You, Embracing the Power of Being Real. It will, I promise you, help you tap into that superpower and that secret sauce that you bring to the table.
That's right. Yeah.
That you have to share with the world. So find it on Amazon. It's Thomas Nelson, which is the Christian publisher of HarperCollins and Perfectly You. Just look it up. And if you do, and I'm going to leave you with this homework, Christoph. If you do want to maybe take a photo of yourself, and this is to your listeners too, with the book, and comment on any part that you like that really spoke to you, post it on stories or Insta, and I will repost, and that way we'll continue to build this movement of authenticity. And as you talk about in every single podcast, making the pivot in a way that is true to you and that will help you conquer your dreams.
100%. And if you're listening, the book and all the social media links will be in the show notes, and you'll have no problem finding the book and getting in touch with Mariana. And as I said, yes, I'm just so appreciative, and I hope you enjoy the rest of your day down there in Miami. It's been thundering. I'm not sure if we could all hear it in the recording, but it's been thundering and lightning the whole entire time. But have a wonderful rest of your day.